Trend number 4, American education, increasingly out of step with the new economy. Whether it's a piece of apparel or a college education, one size fits all has seldom been a good idea. But that has been the mindset behind America's unwritten national policy that everyone should attend college. This pervasive attitude flies in the face of a diverse population filling diverse niches in an evolving economy. Why? Because individuals possess very different abilities, aptitudes, and dreams. And the traditional model of a 4-year liberal arts education, hopefully including some sort of vocationally specialized training, is suitable only for a subset of the population. Obviously, for some, the traditional 4-year college experience and degree is excellent preparation and a wise investment. However, it is becoming exceedingly clear that college is not for everyone. In fact, it can be detrimental to many young people for whom it is not the best option. And forcing too many square pegs into this round hole is, in the long run, a bad thing for the country as well. Working from the flawed assumption that college is for everyone, leaders, including President Obama, have reached an incorrect conclusion that our nation's future is dependent on maximizing the number of people attending college. As a result, approximately 40% of Americans have either a bachelor's or associate degree. And the question is, are these degrees worth it? That is, did the degree holders gain skills that are both useful and valued in the marketplace? Recent statistics hold the answer. The present rate at which colleges and universities are producing graduates is higher than the rate at which the labor market is producing jobs that require those degrees. Between 1992 and 2008, roughly 20 million college graduates were added to the population, but during this same time, 12 million of these graduates ended up in jobs that don't require a degree or the skill sets one is supposed to acquire in college. This means, over the past 2 decades, of the graduates added to the population, 60% were underemployed. In 1992, 5.1 million people with bachelor's degrees held jobs that required no degree. But by 2008, the number had more than tripled to 17.4 million. And, focusing on all current working graduates, we find that more than one-third of them are employed in jobs that require no degree, such as flight attendants, taxi drivers, and non-technical sales. In fact, nationally, around 330,000 waiters and waitresses have college degrees that were not needed for their jobs. And what of the argument that we need more college graduates for the future of our country? With 40% of Americans holding degrees and an increasing number being added every year, the number of graduates is clearly not a problem. What's at issue are the types of degrees being issued and their poor fit with business needs. In short, we have invested tens of millions of person years and hundreds of billions of dollars in the acquisition of college degrees that have little or no practical value, neither to society nor to the individuals who received those degrees. And meanwhile, we have a serious shortage of workers in highly specialized trades, as well as a scarcity of job candidates with a deep understanding of science and engineering. In all too many cases, college graduates discover too late that they've operated under the delusion that it's the degree that counts, not the skills and knowledge that should be behind it. Sadly, it is possible to earn a lot of credits but not really learn anything, at least nothing the marketplace finds useful. In their recent book, Academically Adrift, sociologists Richard Arum and Josipa Roxa make the observation that after 2 years of college, 45% of students showed no significant improvement in critical thinking and writing skills, two of the most important and marketable skills in the real world. And even after 4 years, the figure was still a disturbingly high 36%. According to Arum and Roxa, the main reason for students' lack of academic progress is a lack of rigor. Too many colleges create a comfortable academic environment where students are not challenged. A survey by the authors is revealing. On average, students spend only 12 to 14 hours per week on studying, and much of that time was in group settings. Only one-third of students studied alone, and those who did averaged 5 or fewer hours a week. Half of those surveyed indicated they avoided taking courses that required more than 20 pages of writing per semester. And 32% of students avoided courses that required more than 40 pages of reading a week. Beyond not teaching critical thinking and not demanding rigorous study, schools are also woefully deficient in helping students make wise choices regarding majors and classes that will prepare them for landing a job and building a career. In the end, the schools generate vast sums of money, and the students, in all too many cases, amass crippling debt without developing any viable skills. This leads to the questions, does the typical college experience represent a wise use of time and money? And will it ever generate an acceptable return on the investment? Increasingly, students and parents are not the only ones asking these questions. So are taxpayers. On the basis of this trend, please consider the following forecasts. First, to meet the real needs of businesses and employees, the government will redirect an increasing share of money now allocated to college financial aid to companies that provide vocational certification for their industries. Some disciplines already have this type of program. For example, accountants must pass the CPA exam, which ensures they have the high level of proficiency demanded by that industry. Instead of using a BA or BS as the qualifier for a job, if a similar type of certification test was used for each industry, the competence of students could be measured more precisely for any particular job. By giving industry leaders appropriate input into the content of the certification tests, colleges and universities would have a quantified target to guide their curriculum for each competency. For many disciplines, 2 years of college would prepare students for the certification test. Even better, in-house training programs subsidized by the government would motivate employers to train and certify employees, whether they stayed with the current firm or not. This would represent a much more targeted and cost-effective approach to meeting companies' needs for talent, instead of having all students working towards one-size-fits-all 4-year degrees. Second, higher education will become more effective as government cutbacks and hard times force colleges to shift from simply enrolling students to actually preparing them to meet marketplace needs. A certification program outlined in the first forecast would help drive this change, but it needs to go deeper. There needs to be a move away from measures of social engagement, that is, non-academic activities, and a move toward academic engagement. This means a commitment from faculty to create more rigorous classes, including tougher course requirements and appropriate grading standards. Effective administrators will create plans that will ensure continual improvement, and they will institute a mechanism for assessing the quality of their school's programs and learning outcomes of students. And third, a new way of thinking at the high school level will help students choose the most appropriate next step as they prepare to attend college or join the workforce. Currently, high schools have become college prep schools that do little for those who aren't suited to 4 years or more of higher education. For many students and their eventual employers, this is a disservice since a vocational school or apprenticeship program would streamline their expedited entry into a rewarding line of work. Some criticize the idea of such employment-oriented schooling, saying it traps students in low-paying, dead-end jobs. But for many, the unrealistic expectation of college is doing the same, with the added burden of college debt. The development of high-quality vocational schools would fill two needs. First, the schools would instill pride and self-confidence in students who master difficult technical skills. And second, they would provide the technical workers needed to help revive the U.S. manufacturing industry.